I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, Father, Lord, I need your help today. Father, even as Petey shared and asked your help, Lord, I need your help too. I need you, Lord. There's nothing I can do, nothing in my own power I can do. Father, I want to bring glory and honor to you with just these lips today is what I can offer to you. And so, Father, I ask you, Lord, to prepare us each to receive your precious word that is able to do so much in our lives. It is quick and it's powerful and it's alive. And I know because I've experienced it. And so, Father, it is a great privilege and honor to stand before these people, your people today, to share your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 through 14 is the lesson. I guess the title message would just simply be blessings, spiritual and physically. How many of you ever asked God to answer some material need for yourself? A material need, a physical need. So have I. Or maybe someone else. If you maybe not ask the Lord for yourself, maybe you've asked it for someone else. How many of you seen his gracious provision? I have. I've witnessed it. So then you, along with me, would understand the truth of our Lord's words in Matthew 6:32 when he said, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. All these things. Just those three words mean a whole lot because it entitles, encompasses our lifetime. All these things, from the time from my mother's womb to the time the Lord receives me to heaven, all these things, those three words, take care of our lifetime, our lifetime. And he knows you have need of these things. He knows that. And it is amazing how many things he answers. Not only does he give the things that I ask for, but he has always, and if did you find this to be the case, has always given me a little more than I asked for. It's always been that way. So why do you worry about tomorrow? Sufficient, our Lord said, are the evils thereof of today. Worry about tomorrow. We have no need to worry about tomorrow because our Heavenly Father knows we have need of all these things. Yet we sometimes wonder why we don't receive the blessing that we've prayed for. Might I use that term another way, or pray for the certain need? I know there was different times that I was going to say a little impatient. I better just rephrase that. I got a lot impatient. I really got a lot impatient. Only to find out that God was trying to work for me. He was trying to do what was right for me, but I wasn't listening because I was too intent in having my own way, and so I wasn't listening. I was wanting my way instead of his way. I thought my way was better. Your way is never better. Let me just give you a clue. Your way is never better. Never, never, never. Don't even think about your way being better than his. His ways, and this is in the scripture, in Isaiah 55:9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So we see things happening in our life or maybe in the life of others, and we think, God, this is what you need to do. Back up. Lord, you just have your way. Just have your way. Because it's going to be the best way anyway. You know, the ways that I think they're not even close. They're not even close to your ways. His ways are so much higher and better than our ways. The greatest blessings of all are already ours. We are here today. We believed in our Lord Jesus Christ and in his atoning death and in his resurrection. And Ephesians 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I want to talk about those blessings. I want to try to name some of those. Money, health, and freedom from problems sure makes life more comfortable. I'll never forget a dear brother that was one of the, Charlie. He said, I can picture where he lived, right in the sharp corner of Dressler's Ridge. Charlie Nouse. Charlie, I said, Charlie said, I never had a whole lot of money. And I said, well, how did that work out for you? Well, he said, Brother Roger, it just made things a little inconvenient. What a beautiful attitude. I'm not so sure I'd had that attitude. But I'll never forget that attitude. I'll never forget what he said. It just makes things a little unhandy. Wow. Wow. Shouldn't we all have an attitude like that? It just makes things a little unhandy. I just remember that like it was yesterday. He shared that. You know, the beauty, the attitudes, the beatitudes, I'll never forget this in my first year of Bible college. The one of the things you can think about the Beatitudes, what were the Beatitudes? Well, I can tell it to you this way. This is one of the easiest ways to remember it. The Beatitudes were beautiful attitudes. The Beatitudes are beautiful attitudes. Now, you'll be able to remember that. When you read that, you just think about them as being attitudes. You ever been around anybody that's got a bad attitude? You don't want to be around them very long. You just kind of want to just sort of sidestep when they're like that. You can always tell when somebody's got a bad attitude or they're having a bad day. It either shows up on their face or it shows up if you say something. And you just think, oh, okay, all right. We'll just move right on. Next. Just think of them as being beautiful attitudes. Beautiful attitudes. God's ways are so wonderful and so wonderful and great. The benefits of serving the Lord are unlimited. We can expect to receive those things that we need for physical and material on this earth, but I can tell you they're just temporary. The things here on earth, it's just temporary. When you really give that a thought, you really need to be thinking about things that are eternal. This is just a temporary life. As one fellow said, don't plant your tent stakes too deep. Because this life, we're just passing through. Like our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So think about the things here are just temporary. But our treasures in heaven are forever and ever and ever. We use the word bless in many ways. I think about the word bless. When someone sneezes or colds, this can come out of a heathen's mouth. Bless you. I've heard that come out of heathen's mouths. They have no idea what they're saying. They're just passing it on. You know, they heard somebody else say it. Does anybody know why they pronounce a blessing on you when you sneeze? Does anybody know? You don't know. They believe that your spirit left your body when you sneezed. That your spirit left your body. I don't know who come up with that stuff. But they believed your spirit left your body when you sneezed, and so you would pronounce a blessing on you. So what? So the spirit would come back. All right? That's where it came from. Okay? I checked it out. I did a little research because I like to know why we say things. Another term that we use that shouldn't even be a Christian's term is, well, good luck. Good luck. Explain to me what good luck is. What is that? I know if you talk to Homer, he'll say, it's just bad. You know, he don't have good luck. He just has bad luck. He said, you can eat all the sauerkraut you want. He said, it won't make much difference. All right, but luck don't have anything to do with it. Luck has nothing to do with it. As a Christian, you're either blessed or you're cursed. Blessed or cursed. Now, how can a Christian be cursed? Well, a Christian can be cursed if he's a so-called Christian, or if he is a Christian by word only, by mouth only. Sometimes we say we're Christians. Sometimes politicians use that term very loosely because they're after the Christian vote. But God sees their hearts. God knows who the Christians are. He sees their hearts. You don't fool God. God knows who the Christians are. Okay, we need to get to our lesson. So the word blessed is used in many, many different ways. And we don't always understand. I think the people that use the term don't really grasp its meaning either. As we said, the Beatitudes is blesseds. They're referred to as blesseds. In Ephesians 1, we have God's favor. And we can see it. It's demonstrated here in the work in our lives who are in Christ. Now, where we're here today, we believe Jesus Christ is our Savior, so we are in Christ. And so these are spiritual blessings that flow from heaven, the very place of God's throne and the very place of his rule. And he does this to accomplish his will in our lives, as we spoke about last Sunday, the will of God in our lives. And so these blessings in Ephesians, they have already been bestowed on us in his overall plan of our salvation. Spiritual blessings. First of all, Paul describes the blessings that originated in eternity past. So if you have your Bibles now in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, I'll show you where I'm getting this information. He chose us in him, being Christ, before the foundation of the world. Now, having studied this lesson, when we were singing this song, that we were chosen from our mother's womb, see, that goes back a little further. From the foundation of the world goes further than our mother's womb. The foundation of the world, when God framed the foundations of the world. You know, in the conversation of Job, he'd say, well, Job, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Were you there? Of course he wasn't. This is a long, long time ago when the Lord speaks of the foundations of the world. And it says he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. God decided to save us before we even existed. Now think about that. Think about that. He chose us before we even existed. Now he gave us free wills, so he didn't make us robots. He wanted us to follow him because we wanted to. You're here today because you chose to be here. You made a decision to come to God's house today. You have a free will, and you had a free choice, and you used that to be here today. Well, God decided to save us before we even existed. Now, I know we'd like to think that we made that choice to follow the Lord, and we did. We were just responding to what our Lord offered. We responded. Now, this is where, you know, things could get a little sticky. Sometimes people think, well, if God foreordained that we should be saved, that's God's foreknowledge. God knows all kinds of things long before they happen. But he still gave us a choice. And hopefully, we will use that choice to choose him, to follow him, and to do the things that he wishes in our lives. And that's the beautiful part of the point that God has given us a choice. There'll be people that say, well, I didn't have a choice. Oh, yes, you did have a choice. Yes, you did. Yes, you did have a choice. And God is fair. He is just, and he is fair. And he's given you that opportunity to choose. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. according to the kind intention of his will. Now, I got that in verse 5. Still with me? Having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. Simply because of the pleasure of his will. Why shouldn't the Lord take pleasure in his creation? Why shouldn't he take pleasure in it? Do you know he doesn't wish or hope for anybody to be lost. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. That's not his desire. Hell was not made for the lost. You know what hell was made for? Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But the lost will go there. But he prepared hell for the devil and his angels, his fallen angels. Our God's desire is not willing that any people should perish. None should perish. It's his desire that all men would be saved. Of course, he knows they won't be. God had planned beforehand to place all of those whom he saved into his family and give them all of the privileges that comes with that position. This is what we were talking about, the song we sang, a child of God. I think, I see it, it was listed several times. Sometimes it takes several times to get it in here. Sometimes we got to sing it several times to get it in here. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God today. You're special to him. I told you, you're each created with a separate DNA and a separate fingerprint because you are special. God created you to be special, and you're special to him. And we need to be reminded we have been adopted. Now, he talks about the adoption. We had that in our Sunday school lesson, Petey, about the inheritance. His people were his inheritance, the children of Israel, whom Solomon said, you brought my fathers out of Egypt, and we are his inheritance. Well, guess what? You and I are his inheritance. The Israelites are his inheritance, but you and I are inheritance through adoption. He predestined us to adoption. That's us. When you hear the word adoption, that's Gentiles. Adoption has to do with Gentiles. That word adoption is you and I. We're Gentiles. We have been adopted. God planned beforehand to save us. We are invited to come to our Heavenly Father in prayer, asking for help and provision for needs. And the Bible says we are to come boldly. Isn't that what it says? To his throne in time of need. Now, I know Elroy somewhere in Leviticus. He was studying, you were studying still in Leviticus. Maybe you're out of that. You'll find, and you really need, Leviticus is a tough book to read. But in Leviticus, you'll find there was a lot of requirements, a lot of things priests had to do, a lot of things had to be done. They were done a certain way. Now, because of Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, our advocate, who has made a way for us to be able to come boldly to the throne of God in time of need, Jesus made that way. And when you're done reading Leviticus, you'll understand how easy Jesus made it for us. You'll have a new appreciation of what Jesus did for you when you read Leviticus. Jesus is amazing. He is precious to me. I am so glad that he went to the cross for me. I am so glad he is my mediator. That's how we can become blameless. Did you read that? That we are holy and blameless. Do you know how you can be blameless? It's not going to happen with you. Ain't going to happen with me. It's not going to be anything that I do. I can't be blameless. I can't do anything in my life to be blameless because I'll mess it up every time. But you know how you can be blameless? You know the answer to that. Having accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is blameless. And because he's blameless, that makes you what? Blameless. That's right. That makes you blameless. Only through him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to the cross for me. And I'm glad that I can say that I'm blameless because of you. Because I've got lots of things that I couldn't be blameless for. But because of you, I can stand today and share your precious word today. Thank you, Lord. Secondly, God gives us his present blessing of redemption. In him, I'm getting this from verse 7, if you're still there. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins. Wow, let me say that again. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood that he sacrificed on the cross for the forgiveness of our trespasses. We were all born in bondage to sin. We had a debt of sin to pay. There wasn't anything that we could do to free ourselves. Someone had to purchase us out of the slave market. And that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the price of our salvation with his death on the cross so we could be forgiven of all of our sins. It's all by the riches of his wonderful grace, which he lavished on us. And one of the easiest ways to remember what grace really means is take the letters, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense is as close as you can get to the meaning of grace. Of grace. And Paul said, don't take advantage of grace. I have a message about greasy grace, where people just take advantage of God's wonderful grace. They use it as a license to do the things they want to do that aren't convenient, but they do them anyway. And then they come back and fall on this gift of grace and expect God to forgive them, and God does forgive us. But you're taking advantage of God's grace. Don't do that. It was a costly expense for Jesus. Just think of the expense it cost him. Don't take advantage of his grace. When you need it, certainly ask for it. But don't take advantage of it. As Paul said, should we sin that grace may abound? Remember the question Paul dealt with in Romans? Should we sin that grace may abound? God forbid that we do that. When Jesus came to these people, he'd say, stop it. To the lady in adultery, he said, I don't condemn thee, but what did he tell her? Go and what? Sin no more. Stop it. You think she sinned again? Well, sure she did, but I'm talking about, he was referring to the sin that she was doing all the time. It was the habitual sin she was doing. She was a prostitute. And that's the sin he was referring to, is that lifestyle that she had. He said, stop it. Stop it. Go and sin no more. Stop it. Stop this lifestyle. Stop it. That's what he was saying. Don't take advantage of God's grace. It wasn't meant for that to be taken advantage of. It's all by the riches of God's grace, which he lavished on us. Verse 8. Thirdly, God has given us future blessings. Future blessings. The very salvation that began before creation, as we talked before, but from the beginning, from the foundations of this earth, has guaranteed to be a completion in the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth, verse 10. All things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. There will come a day when the Lord makes all things right. He punishes all evil and establishes his kingdom of righteousness. I've been studying about that with the study of Revelation, with the kingdom coming, the millennial kingdom. God's establishing his kingdom here on earth. We are children of God. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Verse 11. The Lord had reserved this inheritance for us in heaven, and he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit as a pledge, guaranteeing that we will receive it. Verse 13 and 14. He has sealed it with the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing that we will receive it. So we know that we can be secure. No one can break that seal. No one can snatch us away. God, what he began in us, he will complete. He's the author and finisher of our faith. This is one of the beautiful things as I've gotten old through the years, have learned to have the assurance. When I was growing up in the church that I grew up in, we didn't have a lot of assurance of our salvation. It wasn't taught that way. In fact, we had altar calls every night, every time we gathered as a church service, like today. We would have altar calls. And I remember running to the altar every time the altar call was called. I went there. I tarried with the Lord. I prayed. I cried. But you know what was confusing and difficult? I thought every time I went to the altar that I was getting saved all over again. That I had somehow lost my salvation. And I had to come back up and get it. You understand what I'm talking about? Lauren and Scotty, you know. Somehow I had the feeling I'd lost my salvation. And had to get that all reestablished again. I'm glad I don't have to live that way anymore. That's a terrible way to live. Now, it's a good way to live if you really do have a problem with sinful habits. You really need to know that you just can't continue with them. You really need to ask God to help. You need the Holy Spirit to work in your life and help me with this. Help me with this. Whatever the addiction might be, people are addicted to all kinds of things. And certainly coming to the altar to get things right, it's always right. I want to tell you this, that's always right. Don't you ever get me, make sure you're clear, you understand. Coming to the altar is always right. There's nothing wrong with coming to the altar. This altar is for cleansing. This is a place where you need to come. If you've got things going on in your life that shouldn't be there, you need to come. I don't stress it enough. And I suppose I don't stress it enough is because of the way I was raised. And forgive me if I don't stress enough, but this is a place where you need to come. That's never, never outdated, never old-fashioned to come to the altar and pray. That's never old-fashioned. And you know what? We need more of that in our churches. We need more time at the altar. It's lacking, terribly lacking. But I'm glad today that I have that assurance in knowing that if I draw my last breath, sudden death and sudden glory. I believe that. And I have that assurance. And every one of you should have that assurance. You all should have that assurance. You need to have that assurance. And no matter what happens, you can go to heaven. And you need to have that assurance of that. If you're here and you don't have that assurance, you really need to pray and ask God to forgive you. Forgive you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, ask him to forgive you your sins. Invite him to come and live in your heart. It's that simple. Ask him to come in and live in your heart. That's so important. You need to have him living in your heart. Don't live with the fear that if you die, you're not going to go to heaven. Don't live that way. I know that Mary Folk told me before she passed, Scotty, you was with me that day, you were singing. She said, Brother Roger, I want to tell you before I go. And she said, before I started coming to church, she said, I had a terrible fear of death. I really was afraid to die. But she said, since I've been coming to your church, she said, I don't have that fear anymore. And her son also had that fear, and he got that squared away with the Lord. And the other son at the time had that fear. And I also so feel and know that he's got that squared away with him, with the Lord too. So both her and her both sons didn't have to live with the fear of death. And it was encouraging for her to share that with me. I'm glad she shared that with us that day. That was very nice. And it made me aware that nobody should have to live with that fear. Don't live with that fear. That's a terrible fear to live with. God's in charge. He's in charge. He's the one who chooses, he predestines, he redeems, he forgives. And he sums it all up. Salvation started with him and it ends with him. It is ultimately for him. Three times we've seen here in this portion of scripture, in verse 6, in verse 12, in verse 14, we find this phrase, to the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace. God has extended grace to us who were unworthy of it. He extended it to us. He has made us holy and blameless, and all the glory goes to him. Ooh, hallelujah. The next time you find yourself asking God to bless you, or maybe somebody else, I want you to remember to give thanks for all of those eternal favors that he's bestowed on us because we belong to him. God often generously provides for our spiritual and physical needs and our desires. What's interesting? I encourage people to please follow the Lord. Follow him. Because not only will he grant your needs, he will also grant your what? Your desires. Listen to me. Your desires. He knows exactly what makes you happy. And he is delighted to give those things to you. Let me ask you this. How delighted are you to be able to give things to your children? It's real simple. Don't you delight to give things to them, to help them, especially something they were really wanting? Hello? This just probably happened just recently. Wasn't it fun to give them something they've just really had desired to have, and you were able to give it to them? Our Heavenly Father is the same way. He's the same way. He wants to give it to you. He desires to give it to you. He's concerned about your desires. And all of our desires are different. But he knows what they are. And he'll make those things come to pass. And that's the wonderful thing about serving Jesus. It's a wonderful thing about being saved. You should be able to sleep good. Sleeping good is peace. That's God's peace when you sleep good. Do you have peace? You have trouble sleeping? Ask God to give you peace. Ask him to give you peace. There's been times I've had a little trouble falling asleep, but most of the time it's usually, Elroy, 5 minutes. Was it up at the cabin in Alaska? You said I fell asleep in about 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I went from being wide awake to snoring. I'd like for you all to be able to sleep that way. Really, I'm honest about that. I want you all to sleep, to have that kind of rest. Being a Christian, you'd be able to sleep good. Why? Because you have the peace of God that passes all understanding. That peace he gives to you. Not as the world gives, but he gives you that peace and that rest. Even when everything else is falling apart, when everything around you is falling apart, God can give you sweet rest. He can give you sweet rest and peace. Hallelujah. Ooh, bow your heads. I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, it was a joy and a pleasure today to share this message. Because, Lord, I have experienced that which I've also delivered today. I know what it's like to be awake at night and troubled and crying through the night because I've been there. I went through those times. But I also have had the wonderful times of just sweet peace and sweet rest that only you can give in the midst of the storm. Even in the midst of the storm, I know you were sleeping too in the boat. And there was a storm going on and you were sleeping. It's too bad your disciples didn't have the same kind of rest that you had. They were troubled. But you arose and rebuked the winds and said, peace be still. And Lord, perhaps that's what you need to do sometimes in our lives. You need to rebuke those winds and say, peace be still. even in the midst of it, we can have your peace and we can be still. Thank you for that peace. Thank you for that rest. Thank you for this message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.